Blog Talk Radio.
The Summer Olympics are always fascinating to me, and this year is no exception. 206 nations, thousands of athletes whose number one dream is to take home the gold. Today we'll look at the facts, figures, and lessons learned at the Summer Olympics as they continue to play out in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Hello, this is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Thank you so much for listening. We are at the tail end of the Summer Olympics. Actually, this is the 18th of August when I'm recording this broadcast. I hope that you are enjoying the summer if you are in this part of the hemisphere. And if you are in Rio de Janeiro, it's winter right now. So hopefully spring will bring you many new joys and possibilities. But there's something about the Olympics. It comes every 4 years. It is 2 weeks long. The audience represents the microcosm of the world in terms of what the world looks like and all of the athletes who are there. And even though there's probably a bigger draw and probably more of a worldwide penetration with the World Cup because it lasts longer, the World Cup lasts a month, a full month, and the Summer Olympics last 2 weeks, there's still some kind of sparkle and sizzle when you're talking about the Summer Olympics. So we're going to talk about that today. It's still going on. There are medals that are still being won. Yes, I'm part of the United States, but I like the worldwide competition that it offers. And I think out of all of the games that we have in the world, probably the Summer Olympics represents the real embodiment of what world celebration, world victory, and world team effort should be. It is not perfect. It definitely is not perfect, but it represents the kind of effort and team talent and individual performance and victory and definitely defeat that gives all of us courage and commitment to move forward. So typically when I look at the Olympics, I want to exercise more. I sort of dropped off the exercise platform that I was so vigorously on a year ago, and I'm going to definitely start things up again. It lets me see how young people in particular, or those who are a little older, I think one of the older athletes at the Olympics is 41 years old. It lets me know that there's always hope. And even if you don't make it and if you don't win an award or one of the medals, either gold, silver, or bronze, this Olympics, if you're in good shape, if the forces are with you, should I say, there's always 2020. So for just a number of reasons, I think it is a spectacular way to recalibrate your own goals, dreams, and aspirations, even if you didn't make the trip to Rio. And I didn't make the trip, but certainly the activities and the games have gone forward. I want to congratulate everybody who was involved with the effort of executing and putting on the Olympics, the International Olympic Committee, all of the officials in Brazil. Brazil right now is in the midst of a political chaos, should I say. Their president is in deep hot water, having no confidence by the people of Brazil and may possibly be impeached. So they have a lot of political issues taking place. They have many, many economic dynamics that they face in terms of poverty and trying to overcome and eradicate some of the economic issues that face many of the neighborhoods of Brazil. Brazil is such a dynamic country. I definitely want to get there at some point. And then they've had Zika. They've had this annoying disease, these mosquitoes that have been carrying this disease around and just impacting beautiful little babies and sort of hurting their chances of real survival from the perspective of living the kind of life that people are used to. So that country has had a lot to deal with, but yet through it all, through all the controversy and the issues that they face, they have moved forward. So I give a lot of credit to every single decision maker, every single leader, everybody with something to do with the Summer Olympics taking place and moving forward. They were even talking about moving the Summer Olympics to another country because of the concern of Zika, because some of the projects didn't finish on budget and they had all kind of cost overrun issues and just what would be imagined for a very massive event like this. But things have moved forward, and we congratulate them for that. Now, I would encourage you, after listening to this broadcast, if you're listening live or if somebody's passed on an MP3 version of it, to go to my website, go to the August 18th blog at tellcarole.com, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, and then you can read much more in detail about the history of the Olympics and how the Olympics started up again in the late 1800s. And you can also go to the Olympic website, that's olympic.org, olympic.org, where I got many of my facts, and there's video footage there, there are pictures there, and there's a wonderful representation of what has taken place over the last 2 weeks, and they're definitely moving on to Japan for 2020. That's where the next Summer Olympics will take place. I have a picture, if you received my newsletter, or if you're looking at the website and the blog section where this particular episode is housed, you're going to see wonderful athletes. They represent the refugee athletes of the world. And as you can imagine, with all the countries involved, there are many young people, many talented young individuals who may not have an opportunity to participate because their countries are at war or there are things taking place where their particular tribe, their particular village can't participate in the country's activities because they've fallen out of favor. So they're just, you know, 7.2 or 3 billion people in the world, hundreds of countries, thousands of people. There's a lot to sort out. So I want to just walk you through a couple of the facts. And again, I have references at my website, at the blog section where you can read more about it in detail. And there are other places where you can get the information at hand. But there are 206 countries represented at the Summer Olympics. So you're probably saying, okay, the United Nations only recognizes 192 countries. I actually have a map that I created and has all of the flags of the world, and all the 192 countries are there. But actually, the Olympics represent 206 countries, probably because some disputed territories are included. There are some bundled countries like the United Kingdom, which represents Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and England. That's four countries with the United Kingdom. That kind of information going on as well. You have other countries that, for whatever reason, are not being recognized right now by the United Nations, but are recognized by the Olympic Committee. So there's just a whole host of reasons why the discrepancy in the numbers, and you're going to see it when you have that number of countries represented. But the Olympics are officially recognizing 206 countries. And of those 206 countries, I'll give you a medal tally in just a few minutes, but some other very fascinating facts that you may not necessarily know about. The 2016 Olympics being held in Brazil, and Brazil just 2 years ago hosted the World Cup, very first time that South America has hosted an Olympic trial, an Olympic competition. Brazil, obviously, great country, great for soccer and their people and so many other things. It's the first time that they are hosting the Summer Olympics. So now we are down to one more continent. There are seven continents in the world, and yes, we've had the Olympics in Australia. and we haven't had the Olympics in Africa. Now, we're not talking about Antarctica. There's seven continents altogether. I don't think that there are going to be Olympic Games in Antarctica anytime soon, but the last continent where people are physically living is the continent of Africa. Now, World Cup was in South Africa a few years ago, so we are hoping and probably thinking that in the coming years, sometime around 2028 or whenever the next opening bid will be, that Africa will bid and they will actually win that. Rio also expects to play out with more than 10,000 athletes, 10,000 athletes. And if you saw that opening ceremony with all the countries and the flags, I watched all of it. It's fun. I love that kind of pageantry. You saw most of the athletes who participated and competed, they were a part of that opening ceremony, with the exception of the soccer players, the players who had to perform the next day. They could not participate because they were busy preparing for their meets, the various meets. But it was just a thrilling performance and a thrilling portfolio of the world on parade. Also, because Brazil had to cut back on some of their money, because they had to cut back on some of the pageantry that went with the opening ceremony, they used technology. They used a lot of digital technology. So that floor that was part of the opening ceremony actually was like a plasma a screen where they projected images on that floor for water and all the elements, and it was beautifully done, probably a lot cheaper, and the point was made with the history of Brazil, its people, and all the things that they could do digitally that made that opening ceremony very special. Now, on Sunday, August 21st, will be the closing ceremony. And because of technology, they'll probably do the same thing. Probably not as many athletes will perform, will be part of whatever the spectacular kind of celebration that takes place. I'm sure that many of the gold medal winners, silver winners, bronze winners will be there, and that will be a lot of fun. August 21st also happens to be my birthday, my 63rd birthday, and so I'll be celebrating twofold, for the Olympics and also for my birthday. So to make everything work and to execute what they're doing in Brazil, it's taken 130,000 people to make it work, 130,000 people. And of that number, there are 8,000 employees, give or take a couple hundred or so. There are 85,000 third-party employees and 45,000 volunteers. And I would imagine that there are probably some people who pay their own way and they go and they take care of their own accommodations because they're the designated volunteers just based on the relationships that they have. I bet that probably takes place and that's probably a thrill. Also, after the Olympics close out on August 21st, there will be the Paralympic Games, which are held at the end of these Olympics. And the guides for the Paralympics in the triathlon and other activities, they also earn medals. It makes sense because they have to guide those blind athletes to victory, and so they also earn medals. That's pretty interesting. So it may not seem obvious, but the recognition of the guides just happened to be in the Paralympics that took place at Guadalajara, that's in Mexico, in 2011. I think that's pretty cool. And many people will be looking at those Paralympics when they take place shortly after the Olympics end. It said this may be the curiosity about the scariest Olympics. In the bid to host the city, Rio de Janeiro had budgeted the organization of the Games at $28 billion, that's billion with a B, 28 billion reyes. That figure today has increased to over 37 billion reyes. I don't have time to look at the translation, but you can go online and see what's the difference between 28 billion reyes and 37. It's still a whole lot of money, an awful lot of money. At the end of the games, there are going to be 306 gold medals that will be given out, and there are 42 games, lots of games, lots of winners, lots of victorious individuals. The addition, this edition of the Olympics definitely are very historic because there are two sports that are coming to the games. Rugby has returned after 92-year absence, and I know that one of the countries that surprised everybody won one of the gold medals with rugby. I think it's one of the female teams. That was quite fun to watch. And golf is back after 112 years. And I know that the Great Britain took the gold medal in golf, so that was also quite thrilling. Now, I'm an American, most of you know, and I'm a very proud American. And I think it's very cool that we have all these athletes that are there, and I'm very happy that we have 554 Americans who went to the Olympics and continue to compete throughout the week. I'm happy that in the 100-meter hurdle yesterday that all three of the medals were given out. This is for women, to Americans. So 1, 2, 3, all won by Americans. But I'm always thrilled to see other countries as they compete, as they score victories, as they win. I can't go through everything, but I love Usain Bolt. I love to see him perform. I love to see him get the crowd involved. He's such a colorful, entertaining, but brilliant athlete. And now there is a young man, let me get his full name because I was just really, really so happy that he crossed that finish line and he won. Won big time, big, big time. His name is Wade Van Niekerk, and he won the 400-meter race a few days ago to make the only gold medal winner from South Africa. South Africa has won a total of 7 medals, but because of Wade's excellent performance, it was amazing he actually took the gold home for South Africa. A wonderful, interesting person. There are hundreds of stories of these athletes and their triumph over adversity. His mother was an Olympic-like athlete in South Africa, but because he is a person of color, I think he may be a mixed-blood person, which is called a colored person in South Africa. He may be black, but he just looks like he's probably a colored individual. That's the correct term for South Africa. But anyway, his mother couldn't compete because of apartheid. But because of the tenacity and the willpower of this young man's 74-year-old coach, who is a white South African grandmother, this young man crossed the finish line, and he was way over in track lane number 8. I saw the race. Track lane number 8, and he zoomed past everybody, set a record, and won the gold for that particular meet. It was just fantastic to watch. And just to see the thrill when people win, the Brazilian gymnast, the male Brazilian gymnast who won one of the exercises, they won the silver and the bronze medal, and they were in tears, absolutely in tears, because it was the first for them. That was very, very exciting to see. Obviously, I love gymnastics, so I can't say enough wonderful things about the Final Five. That's what they called themselves, all the young women on Team USA who won big time. Allie Reisman, wow, what a spectacular athlete. Simone Biles, woo, she smokes. She's now won 5 medals, and Allie has won 6 medals. And then Lori Hernandez, who won a silver medal on beams, just fantastic. And then Gabby and the other young woman, I'm going to see if I can pull up her name. I've forgotten her name. There's so many wonderful athletes and what they've done. But it's just been really, really fantastic. I know that we all wanted to have Gabby Douglas to do more. She did win with her team. She won a gold medal and didn't quite do enough to qualify, but just spectacular, absolutely spectacular performance all of them have done. And now we have a new gold medal Olympic swimming triumph woman who is an African-American, first time ever in this category, where she tied for gold with the Canadian Peggy Olisquiat. I may be pronouncing her name incorrectly. Olisiak, I believe that's how she pronounces it. They were performing in the 100-meter freestyle. And Simone Manuel is her name, and she tied for the gold. And then she went on and won another medal. Just an amazing young woman from Stanford University, and just a great athlete all the way around. That was thrilling to watch. And all of us know about Michael Phelps. He just went on and on and on with his swimming meets, and he won them handily. He now has, I believe the count is something like 28 to 35 medals altogether, winning several medals here at the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. And he's now going to retire. He says he's going to retire. I think he may be back, but he said he's going to retire. I hope he'll marry that sweet young woman and the little baby that they have produced, and hopefully they'll be on his plans now that he can devote more time to them. And then obviously encouraging many other athletes to achieve the same kind of success that he has achieved. Just a thrilling episode, a thrilling measurement of excitement. Now, I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to read probably the top 5 or 6 countries and their medal count as of August 18th. Remember, these games are going to go on until Saturday, Sunday. So there'll be other golds that are going to be won. But so far, the United States has won a total of 94 medals, 31 gold, 32 silver, 31 bronze. Great Britain has won 62. I believe it's 62 medals, looking at the print here. China has won 64 gold, 50. That can't be possible. 94 for the United States, 62 for Great Britain, 54 for China. Now I got it right. Germany has 30 medals that they've won altogether. Russia has won 41 altogether. Japan, 33, France, 31, Italy, 23, the Netherlands, 15, Australia, 26 altogether, South Korea, 17, Hungary, 14. So you can see there's no order, really. I'm reading these off, having gotten them online. And again, these numbers are going to change, but there are some 70 countries altogether, as I flip through my notes, some 70-odd countries or more, give or take some, who have actually won medals. Even Tunisia has won a bronze medal, and Venezuela won a silver medal, and the Philippines won a silver medal, and Mongolia won both silver and bronze medal. So you have just a whole host of countries. Portugal has won a bronze medal. And you have Ethiopia won a gold medal, a silver medal, and 3 bronze medals. So you can do your own search. By the time everything ends, you can go to Google and do a search, and it'll give you pages full of information about all of the countries who have won medals during this Olympic season. So this could just go on and on. Just I just think it's very exciting. When I look at lessons learned, just one of the lessons is that just the inspiration that we all get from these athletes, some very young, 16 years old, all the way up to their mid-40s or so, but just their absolute willpower to do their best is, I think, some of the inspiration that I get from watching the Olympics. I've watched past Olympics where maybe my mood isn't very great, things are tough business-wise, and I can watch those Olympics and get new opportunities to do better just by watching the least of the least, somebody who has come from a long way, has struggled, because in the case of, I look at Tori Bowie, who's from Mississippi. She's one of our American track and field athletes who has now won, I think, 2 silver medals. And you look at her circumstances, raised by her grandmother. Grandmother lives in a very modest mobile home in Mississippi, raised a lot of her grandchildren, which happens quite a bit. And I looked at her in particular winning that gold medal and said, my goodness, how much she had to overcome to get to that point, to be a track and field star, and now to bring home a silver medal, 2 of them, to her grandma. Just an amazingly wonderful story. I look at Simone Biles, whose mother had drug and alcohol issues. She was put up for adoption through a foster home process. She was actually adopted by her biological grandfather and his wife, her step-grandmother, and they became her parents. But look at what they did to give her the strength and the courage and the willpower to do masterfully well with gymnastics. There are Sudanese athletes, that country, South Sudan, so many issues going on now, militarily wise, violence, rape, overcoming all kind of obstacles to come and compete in the Olympics. Just story after story after story. Amazing stories that give me, and hopefully will give you, a new way to reflect on the issues and the challenges and the trials and tribulations that you go through. That, to me, is the spirit of the Olympics. And there's so many rules and regulations and policies that are adhered to and followed. There was one athlete, Egyptian athlete, who refused to shake the hand of his Israeli competitor. And they sent him home. And I think that's right. There are political and military issues that go on, obviously, throughout the world. But the Olympics provides almost like a utopic perspective of how to engage in sportsmanship from the perspective of dignity. It goes all the way back to those very first games around 776 BC. And you could go to my website and read all about it. But that spirit, that sportsmanship, that level of courage, that dedication, that willpower to never give up and to keep competing is what makes the Olympics so special, makes it very, very special. And I hope that you'll continue to enjoy watching them, keep your own scores, look at some of the statistical information, and see how it can really make a difference in your life, regardless of your circumstances. I guarantee you that if you really look at some of these performers and these athletes and study how well they do despite all of the competition, it will give you food for thought. It will give you a measure of encouragement of your own, and hopefully it'll give you the kind of incentive to go out there and become an Olympian in your own walk of life so that you will be a gold medal person in everything that you do. Go out there and make it a great day. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and we'll see you the next time. And we hope that you will continue to walk in the spirit of the Olympics. Take care. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.